you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have my air conditioning on. I can hear it. I'm going to turn it off shortly. Welcome. I'm going to turn it off now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. I am your host, Brian Hammer Jackson, the nonsensical host that you tend to love. Love me, I am needy. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to call in, which I hope you do, because I get very lonely and I'm very needy. If you'd like to call in, here's the number to call in. And you can talk to me or some celebrities who might come into the show and have an opinion, which is our morning crew. That would be cool. The number to call in is, I don't have a number. You really don't need the number anyway, because this is an internet show, so if you are listening to the show, have on a marquee the number to call in. Yeah. I've been doing this show for so long, I even forgot the number. But that's how you get onto the show. Or you can just call 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard globally. Welcome. Today's topic, here we go, headline. Weird but true reasons real people have gotten divorced. I mean, the divorce rate is going up. As the years go by, these real-life people, they call it whatever. They just don't get along. And to a whole other level, here's 15 people get candid about their bizarre, messy reasons for a divorce. And then we're going to continue. It's one of my favorite things. We're going to continue on with people who you thought were great in history, but they were really assholes. That's part three. And if we get to it, I really want to do it. I wanted to do this last week. I didn't get a chance to do it. It's real ghost stories. Halloween is coming. The Exorcist is coming out. So these are real ghost stories that happen to real people. I want to get to it. And you know what happens? If I can just keep focus on the show, I can get to all of it. But if I'm not focused and somebody comes in and throws me off, we lose the story because these are stories. These are real stories. That kind of crazy ass stories. But first, you know, there's a lot of things I want to get to. I don't like to talk about the man. I really don't. Colorado has just did a lawsuit on the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which is keeping Donald Trump off the ballot. There's three reasons why a person cannot run for president. Number one, you have to be of 35 years of age. 2, you have to be a natural born citizen. And 3, you cannot have any insurrections against the United States of America. You cannot have one, support one, or justify one. So the last one is there are some people, and I think Colorado is a red state if I'm not mistaken, because there's a lot of Republicans against Trump. So that's the one they're going after, that the insurrection about the Capitol. It says you cannot start one, but you cannot support one, and you cannot encourage one. So you figure out the last one. They're going to get them on that one. Is this a good thing? And people, you know, people are, I hate the argument, and I will not go into the argument that we cannot do it because we look bad. We cannot do it because we're a banana republic. We can blah, 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 blah. The truth of it is, do you want law? You know, I'm a black man, and there's women out there too, and we are an oppressed kind of species. And the law is not fair. I mean, we can argue about black men being, you know, locked up more time than a white man would do the same crime. We can go down to that rabbit hole if we want to, but it's true. So when you argue that Trump is too big to be put in jail, or you're worried about how the country's going to look because he's in jail, or how we're going to look, I say, you're out of your fucking mind. You're dumb. You're stupid. Because if we're going to make sense and live in this world, it has to be justice for all. And if he's accused of something or allegations have been something about something, then you have to go through this system like we all do. Because if we uphold he is too big to go to jail, or it looks bad, or we're banana public, if we put that there, then the corporate of Mattel, the corporate people of major corporations will not be held accountable for sexual harassment or whatever, because they're too big to lock up. And if they go to jail, millions of jobs are lost. You can argue that. People lose everything. Think about it for a minute. So if you were a stockholder and the president of that company gets accused of rape, which President Trump did, fraud, which President Trump did, neglect, which President Trump did, deceitfulness and cheating the government, work with me now, as President Trump did. And if you're saying that he is too big, if you're saying that he's too powerful, if you're saying that the image will hurt us, then all those people in those big corporations should get a pass. Amazon, get a pass, because the company's too big to fail. Millions of people will lose jobs. Stocks will fall. People will lose their life earnings. And the reason Amazon's not on trial, or what's his name from Twitter, it's not because it won't fail. It's because they don't do it, because they can lose everything. That's why we need laws. So nobody's too big to justify being a criminal. Hell, I know some guy, his name is Wookie. He's a felon. Can't get a job. I'll say to him, you should run for president of the United States. They won't lock you up then. You do your shit, they won't lock you up because it's too big to fail. So that reason bothers me, that when people come in and say he's too big, or what he represents the United States, or what, how we're going to look all over the world if we lock one of our leaders up. We look good because we're holding our leaders accountable, and that's the state of law we should have. I am running for president, and I endorse that message. Vote for me. You need a little hammer on that little vote ballot. That's right. I'll get the job done. That's right. Huh, maybe I'll start my campaign. Vote for Hammer because I'll put criminals in a slammer. There you go. And if you're good on my campaign thing, I'll buy products from Pat Oberlin's bakery. And each person who votes for me gets a patty cake. Delicious patty cakes. Speaking of her, let's open up. One of our morning crew came in. Good morning, Patty Oberlin. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
People are just
going to believe in you about that bakery. So.
We're going to get it done. I'll be your chef. We'll get it done. Nobody has a name, Patty Cakes. I want to welcome Pat. If you listen to the show, which many of you do, Pat was going in for a procedure in the hospital. She was a little worried about the procedure. Pat is a well-renowned psychic. That's a fact, because she knew I was going to be on the show, and she's here. That's how good she is. But I'm going to ask Pat if she would like to talk about her experience, and you can hear she sounds great. Pat, take it away. Would you like to talk about, you're worried about going in, and I think you stayed 5 days. Would you like to talk about that a little bit? You have people worrying about you, and this is the only way they can hear you.
Last time, same surgery, basically, I didn't make it. I died, and I had to be put in a coma, and I was a bit concerned the same thing would happen, so it didn't, and I'm alive, and everything's cool. So, you know, I'm good with that.
Viva la Canada, socialized medicine rules. All right. I'm glad to see you, Pat. Glad, and you sound great. You do sound wonderful.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I'm glad. you sound great. Now, sometimes I need to be judged. Hey, Pat, do you think I'm a good radio host? Do you think I'm a good radio host?
Yeah, except when you get carried away.
Okay, and that's most of the time. So I'm a pretty bad radio host.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
No, you're not.
You know, sometimes with the temperature of the world today, men do not know when women are flirting. That's a fact, Jack. So sometimes I'll ask someone, a female, to judge me because I have a question. And it might just be my imagination, my ego, or just ego. Because I think everybody's flirting with me, including the mailman. He sends me letters. There's a little joke in there. No, mailman. Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Oh, sometimes. Well, so Pat, here's the thing. We're going to play,
okay.
It's only one thing. We're going to play a little game. Is Brian nuts or is somebody really flirting with him? That's it. That's the game. I'm going to give Pat a scenario and she would tell me the truth. Am I nuts or somebody flirting with me? Ready to go, Pat? You will be the judge. I'll give you the scenario. This is a true scenario, everybody. It's not a fake one. It's all true. So I had to get some blood work, and I go do my thing. I'm sitting in the waiting room. They call me. I answer. Hello. They said, Mr. Jackson, that's me. Action Jackson, they call me. Okay. They tell me to go to room one. Of course, I am number one, so I'm familiar with room one. I go in. Now, Pat, here's where, listen carefully, because you have to judge me. Am I nuts, or was somebody really flirting with me?
Okay.
So I go in. The woman comes in, the technician, whatever. I forgot what they call it. She's not a nurse, phlebotomist, whatever. The woman's taking the blood. Woman's taking my blood, my vitals. That's what she's doing. She's taking my blood. And let me describe this woman. Petite lady. I'm a professional, and I handle myself professionally. So I noticed little details about the hospital, I mean, about the place where I went. So she comes in, and I'm noticing detail. Nice tits. Detail one. Titties. I am 7 years old. Detail two. Pouty lips. Pouty. I'm checking the box. Pouty lips. This is in my name. Detail number three. Lipstick with some lip gloss. Gleaming lips that summon me my inner pervertness. That was it. That was enough. Take my blood. Now, as she's taking my blood, she takes my blood differently. Usually when I take blood, it's like you know how you do it, Pat, right? You bring out your arm,
yeah.
Right? And they usually take, they roll up your sleeve, right? This is usually all the time, right? They roll up your sleeve,
yeah.
And they take your blood. That's how it's done. She didn't do it that way. I have been poked so many times. When I first went in and for my first blood test, I had veins coming out of my neck. You could see veins. After I've been poked and probed so many times, they're hitting my arm to try to find it. Where you got a vein somewhere. One time, this worst thing happened is when I went in. I went in 4 months ago. Here's the worst thing happened. So this woman, she put the needle in me. And this is what you don't want to hear from a doctor or a nurse. You don't want to hear this. This is all true. You don't want to hear this. Uh-oh. I go, what? And meanwhile, the needle's hurting, right? It's hurting. It's hurting more than usual.
Yeah.
So she leaves the needle in, and no blood is coming out. No blood.
No way.
Nothing. 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 The needle's in me, there is no... I don't know, but it was freaky. Hurting. I think she missed. I don't know what's going on, but there was no blood.
She missed.
Yeah.
So what'd she say?
But she didn't want to say anything. She left it in there for, I would say, at least 2 seconds. I'm not kidding you. It's like, I don't want this guy to know that I'm not making a mistake. I meant to do this, you know. And I had to tell her, I said, you know, this is really hurting. Are we getting the blood? She goes, there's no blood coming out. I go, then why is the needle still in my arm? She goes, I'm pulling it out now. And I'm thinking, okay. She goes, let's try again. Boom, she tries again. Nothing. 2 times, needle in my arm. And then she pulls it out, and she goes, I can't find a vein. I go, well, let's try the other arm. Like, all of a sudden, she has an epiphany. Oh, you have another arm. This happened to me before when I was in the hospital. When I was in the hospital, they couldn't find a vein. You're being poked 3 or 4 times with the needle at this point. And they're saying,
terrible.
I can't find a vein. And it is horrible. It's just horrible. And then one nurse actually said this, we might have to take your blood from the vein from your feet. I said, my feet? She goes, yeah. Yeah. I go, my feet. Yeah. And Pat, I got beautiful, amazing fetuses. Nice fetuses.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want anybody poking my feet, that's for sure.
I know. I have never heard of that before. They were desperate. You know,
well,
so going back
sense.
To, yeah, it, they had to find a vein. So going back to, am I nuts or was she flirting? Now, that was before. I was just trying to accent that happened. And finally, she went to the other arm and the blood flowed. But by that time, I was just, you know, you come out of the room with four Band-Aids on you, and you look like people are looking at you like, damn, you know what I mean? What kind of person is this? You come out, normally you come out with one Band-Aid. I had four up and down the arm. They're going, damn, must be a UFO. What the hell? So that was before. So now we're going current of, is Brian nuts or was this woman flirting with me? So I go in. I'm sitting there. Petite woman, I described her very well, except for her eyes, and I hardly saw her eyes because I was busy focusing on her titties, which I tend to do. Then I saw her eyes. Beautiful eyes. Okay, so she says, we're going to do something. I go, here? She goes, what? Nothing. you know how my mind works at. I'm a member of Pornhub. Wow, you know. So she says, we're going to do something different. I go, okay. So she takes my wrist, and she takes my blood from my wrist. She goes, there's a nice vein. I go, yeah. And I lay my thing down, and she gives me this little tiny needle. She goes, you're going to feel a little prick. I said, I'm used to forget it. It's an easy joke. It's an easy. I'm not even going to say it. It's too easy. You know, a little prick. That's what she said. Too easy. So I go, okay. So she puts a little tiny needle, puts it in my arm. And it's taken a while. I said, I'm not seeing the vial with blood. I'm having this trauma again. Is there blood? She goes, yes, honey. There's blood. Yay! I can't even remember the first time in my life that I've been with a woman and she had blood. I go, oh, that's great. Usually it's like, okay, we're not going to go there. Blowjob would do. Anyway, forget that. So she hits my wrist. Blood kind of come out. And it's a little tiny thing. It's on my wrist. And as she's, I guess she decided that she wanted small talk while you have a needle in my vein. Yeah, it's like, because it's nothing to them, right? So she's just saying, I go, and I'm complimenting her because I don't want to hurt. I said, you did it very nicely. I didn't hardly feel anything. Thank you. I go, you're welcome. And then she started, now here's your judgment. Then she pointed to her badge, which her name, which had her name tag on it, which was Vera. And I go, okay, that's unusual because I could see your badge, you know, it's hanging on your left tit. It actually is in the way of your nipple, but of course I see your badge. But again, I'm saying it's very nice. You're doing, you're very nice. You got a nice touch. She goes, thank you. And then she started pointing at her badge. I go, oh, Vera. She goes, yes. Oh, and now we're still waiting for my blood to flow. I guess this is talk before the blood, you know what I mean? And I go, okay. And she goes, well, we're just going to pull this out here. And I go, yeah, that's what she said. Okay, fine. Bad joke. She smiled. She pulled the needle out. And then she started to wrap me, you know. I go, you did a great job. And she goes, thank you. It's been my pleasure. I go, oh, okay. She goes, any time. I go, well, it's not so much any time that I want to come out and get my blood done. You know what I mean? I'm going to pass on that, but okay. And I left. Pat, judgment. Am I nuts or was she flirting? What was your thing?
I don't know. I still think I would have had to be there. It's kind of hard to tell.
I know. And that's the problem with today's thing. You don't know. You don't know. I mean, why would you pat your... See, the question is, why would you pat your badge so I could see your name, number one? Number two, anytime. My pleasure. I'm Vera. I don't know. It has to go to the jury. It has to go to the jury. I'm used to people coming in. They take your blood. Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Jackson. And here's a little lollipop, and here's a tissue for your tears. I'm used to that.
Yeah.
But I'm not used to my pleasure anytime. And
yeah,
she batted her eyes, and I'm glad she batted her eyes because it was really hot, and so her eyebrows, her eyelids were so long that it felt like a fan. It's like, ooh, cool my face. But so Pat, flirting or not flirting? I don't know.
Semi.
I don't know.
A little bit.
But you can't.
A little bit.
But you can't jump on little bit because, see, a man jumps on little bit, he looks like an asshole or a sex offender. You know, nowadays it has to be so blatant that you know that, you know, they just whip off the bra and they just show you their tits and say, hey, would you like to suck on these? How about Friday night? I mean, that's the only way you really know. Even then you don't know. You know, even then you don't know. And
well,
that's how
I wouldn't take it as a full flirting. But it was definitely semi-flirting.
Some friendly stuff going on there. So, Pat, there's three things that happened to me, and we're still playing a game. And this game is called, Are You Rude? This game is called, Are You Fucking Insane? That's the name of this game. Are you fucking insane? Sometimes I'll say things that I don't mean to say, things that come off rude, and sometimes I don't know if they come off rude. Three things happen, and then we'll go on with the show. Number one, I go to the gas station. This pump was empty. I go to the guy. I went, $50 on that pump. He goes, that pump's not working. Pump six is down. This is all true story. So, Pat, you, after I'm done with these stories, you have to say, are you fucking insane, or you're just Brian? Sometimes it could be the same. So, You tell me. So pump six down, fine. Pump six down, so I go to pump eight, same island. This person gets out of her car, the word her car, walks over to me and says, is pump six working? Basically, she says, is this pump? I go, no, this pump is not working. Now, I noticed that she had a large face, a big face. I call her Big Face Girl. As she's waiting for a pump, small talk happens. I said, no, pump six is down. And she goes, well, thank you. I just wanted to know where I can go. I said, I'll be down in a minute. Small talk. Then all of a sudden I look at her and I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm down for the cause. I'm down for the cause. I think transgenders are wonderful people. In fact, I even bought some Skittles. I kissed a rainbow. I'm down. That was the conversation. She looks at me, and I've seen that look before on a lot of women, almost like, what the fuck are you talking about? She looks at me and says, do you think I'm a man? Inside, there's a little voice in me going, uh-oh. Because I'm making small talk at this point. And I had to answer her. I said, yeah. And then she says, why do you think I'm a man? I goes, because you have a big face. You got a big face, lady. She goes,
oh,
well, I get that. Yeah. So I get that. She says, I get that sometimes. And my friend's a transgender, and my cousin has the same thing. We put on makeup, and we get that. And I said, it's pretty hard to tell. She goes, it is. She says, I've seen some beautiful men who look like a female. You know what I mean? So big face girl leaves. Judge me on that. Pat, am I fucking insane?
Well,
she
took it well.
Big face girl took
so
it very well.
I don't see what the problem is.
By calling somebody, I guess by looking at somebody and calling them big face girl. Or bringing out an attribute. And a female, she's a female.
That is probably a bit titchy, but you know, she took it well, so.
Okay, now this is part two of one. So then I go to cross the street, and I said, ooh, I dodged that one. So I go to this place. It's called Smart and Final. It's a grocery warehouse store. I wanted pancakes and whatever. So I didn't have pancakes, so I wanted frozen pancakes. I go in, I get a frozen pancake. I'm in line. I hate it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I hate it when people talk to you when you're in line. It's the worst thing ever. And you know who's going to do it. You know the talk people, that they have to talk to someone while they're waiting in line. So I'm behind this guy. He's from Europe. I can tell he's from Europe because he has that European face and just features of Europe. And he's kind of an older guy, suspenders, whatever. He's in front of me. I get into this line. There is only two deep. I said, hey, I can get in. I get out. What always happens, I have this rule. If you stand in front of, if you're in a grocery store and there is three people in front of you, chances are one of those people are going to have a problem. chances are one will have, it's not going to flow like you think it is. One person's going to have a problem, like price check, or do you, they're going to ask questions. It's one person's going to hold up the damn line. It's always works. Three people, go try it next time you're in a grocery store. If you're three people deep, one, two, and you're the fourth person, I guarantee one of those people in line are going to have a problem that the cashier has to go somewhere, and that's what happened. I'm in line, and it was the shortest line, and all of a sudden somebody says something, and the cashier, whatever, she left to look for something in the back. Now we're in line. These are all true stories. And I see this guy in the corner of my eye going, oh, God, he's a talker. He's going to talk. And sure enough, well, you know, I don't know why they do. And all you could do is not, because you don't want to engage in this conversation because it's going to prolong this moronic guy talking about moron stuff. Blah, 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 blah. In my country, you know, my father said to me, I remember this, you know, my father said to me, I go, no, what is your, I know what your father said because I was there, right? No, you moron, I don't know what your father said to you, and I don't care about your father, I don't care about you. You know, my voice in my head is going, get out, kill someone. You know, you have that in your head. So bottom line, I go, And then he sees me with just my pancakes, just a frozen box of pancakes. He goes, why don't you go in front of me? No, I'm good, I'm good. Go in front of me. No, I'm good, I'm good. Go in front of me. Now he's making a scene. Go in front of me. Let everybody know I'm a great guy. Go in front of me. No, I'm good. And then he sees what I have. Oh, that's all you got? Yeah, that's all I got. I got pancakes. I pay for it. You what? I pay for your pancakes. You're not paying for my pancakes. I pay for your pancakes. No, you're not paying for my pancakes. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm not letting no stranger pay for my pancakes. Oh, here's my credit card. We're going to pay for your pancakes. Get the hell out of here. No. You don't pay for another man's pancakes. What's wrong with you? I'm good. Give me your box. Leave my box alone. Now he's touching my pancakes. Even though it was on the box, I'm thinking, ew, get your hands off my cakes, man. What the hell's wrong with you? And then he goes, okay. And then he pays for his stuff. And then I pay for my stuff. I have never seen anything like that in my entire life since I've been to the store. What man offers to buy your pancakes? Now, I have talked
That's
to my friends.
Crazy, man.
That's that's the flirt. Never mind the chick. Oh, pancake boy. Yeah, pancake man. Pancake boy was to buy your pancakes. Wow. All my days standing in line, I've never experienced that before. I let him go. I went out. He did not follow me. I paid for my pancakes. Done. So, Pat, was I rude? That was part two of one. Going back to the gas
station. No, you weren't rude.
Okay. I was justified. You never know about who's. Yeah. Item two, Pat. Item two. 2 days, yesterday I was in, I had to go, get some stuff taken care of, x-rays.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm there. These are all true stories, by the way. I'm there. I walk into the x-ray thing, sit down, fine. It's taken a while. I noticed that the TV was off. Sometimes I want to watch TV. I don't turn up the sound or anything. I just, I want to watch TV, right? I'm the only one there. But then I noticed this old guy, he's about 125, he's there. By himself, moving his head like he had Parkinson. He's a really old guy. And I'm not having a conversation about the Civil War with this guy. So I figure I'm safe. And I guess his handler, or his friend or whatever, went to the bathroom. She was on her way back, but me and him were there. I go, okay, he's not going to give me any static. I turn on the TV. Which was a mistake, Pat. This is all true. Remember, we're still paying. What the fuck are going on with you? Are you a fucking crazy or are you just lying? So I'm sitting there and I turn on a TV. And I realized there was a reason why the TV was off because the sound got a little loud. I couldn't, there was no remote and everything. Like, shit.
Oh.
This woman, I call a nurse, almost runs out from her desk from the glass thing. She runs out, goes to the lobby where we're sitting at. It was only me and the old dude there. Oh, and this time it's Hannah there, so it's three of us. And so she's saying in the lobby, not pointing out who did it, yelling because it's an old dude there, please do not touch the TV. Voice in my head, uh-oh. She went on for another 3 seconds. There's a TV is off for a reason. Please do not touch the TV. Don't place your hand on it. We get it. Don't place your hand on the TV. We get it. The TV is for staff members. We get it. She's screaming, right? She goes out, goes back and sits on her chair behind the glass. She can see us, but she's behind the glass. The old dude. Not kidding. I go, uh-oh, I know it. Here it comes. The old dude, what did she say? That was his voice, not mine. What did she say? I like old people when they try to reach, they try to grasp for air before they talk. That one, what did she say? That was how old he was. He's like 125.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he didn't know was when the woman was yelling at us, don't touch the TV, this and this. So I nodded my head, blaming him, like this guy. You know what I mean? I put my head towards him.
Yeah.
Blamed him. And that's when she went to him, don't touch that TV, because I kind of nodded my head like he did it. So she goes back behind her desk, and then he goes to me, what did she say? I quit here. I go, she said, you're a handsome young man. Oh! She heard me. She started giggling. That was two. So gas station's one. That incident was two. Third incident, and you have to tell me about who are the fuck. So I'm in line, as I certainly do. Again, I'm in a grocery store. Again. And I go there all the time. They know who I am. I go there with Cindy. They know who Cindy is. The box people know who Cindy is, who puts the bag, you know, put the groceries in the bag. They know who Cindy is. They know who I am. You know, they're accustomed to us. Okay. But they had a new checker, right? So this checker, this guy was arguing with the checker, very rude, very loud. He was before me. And they're disagreeing on a price or a coupon that he got off his app or something. Well, it says on the app that blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm sorry, sir, that app has expired. You got to look at the date. Look at the date. I downloaded this app in 95. Okay, whatever. So they were arguing. He leaves the store. It is my turn, right? Now, I noticed the guy was a little swishy when I walked up to him. You know what I mean? A little sugar in his butt, a little gay. Yeah, kind of, you know, I'm spot on these things. I'm a profiler. That's what
I do.
Okay, so he leaves. I'm up. And I said to him, as they're, beep, groceries are going down. Beep, groceries going down. Beep, groceries going down. And I said to him, small talk. Small talk gets you in trouble every frickin' time. I said, some people, man, they're just homophobic. Beep, beep, beep. Huh? I go, you know, some people are just homophobic. And he goes, why you say that? Well, there are some people in this world. I'm not hearing any more beeping. Come on, you know, I got some more grocery. Beep, beep. What happened to the beeping? But instead, he says, why you say that? I go, I don't know. He just seemed a little angry. You know, I think he's homophobic. And the guy goes, I'm not gay. a little voice in my head. Uh-oh. Pat. A little voice in my head. You got to fix. A little voice in my head. You got to fix this quick. This could be a mess.
Why?
Because I'm accusing. Well, he looked a little gay to me, you know, a little sugary, like a sugar baby. And then I looked at him, and he looked straight at me. I'm not gay. Okay. And he gave me a really mean look. I don't know what made you think I was gay. You know, he went on. I said, look, I'm not talking about you. He goes, what? I'm gay. I had to admit that I was gay because I had to get out of this. You know, there are people in line. I thought that was the solution. I said, I'm gay. He goes, you're gay? Yeah. Yeah, I am. You know what I mean? Now, I did not know that the box girl who's seen me and Cindy in there for years, and this woman's an older woman now. Right, she looked at me, she goes, you gay? And I go, shit. Yes, I am gay. I didn't know
why
you were gay.
Why did you do this to yourself?
I wanted to get out of it because I didn't want to seem like an asshole that calling this guy a gay person.
Worse.
I know. I didn't know. I thought I could get out of it saying, well, I'm gay. And the guy even apologized to me. You know, well, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know you were gay. Well, yes, I am.
Oh,
I just
Jesus,
thought I could
Brian,
get out.
Talk about sticking your foot in your mouth. Oh, my goodness.
I know. So the boxer goes, you gay? Yes, I am gay. Oh, I did not know all these years. Yes. I'm going to leave now. And I started to leave swishing my hips just to make sure that the story was true. So I'm swaying my hips as I'm leaving the store. The only thing I didn't do is snap my fingers up in the air and say, bye, fellas. That's the only thing I did not do.
Oh, my God, Brian.
It didn't stop there.
So now you've
got to
clear it up at the store.
No, I came home. What I did was I came home. My girlfriend is in the room. Cindy's in the room. And she's working. I just opened the door. Okay, when we go to the store, just remember I'm gay. She goes, what? Okay, goodbye. Have a good day. She goes, what the fuck? Because she goes in there all the time. Why are you gay? What did you do? Oh, I did it? Blame me? Seriously? Allegations? She goes, what the fuck did you do? Nothing. I'm minding my own business as I tend to do.
Your mouth got carried away.
Yeah. Just a little gay controversy. She goes, what? I go, baby, listen, we don't have... She goes, I'm with you. How can you be gay? I don't have to be all the way gay. May I be part gay? I could be bisexual. She goes, get the fuck. Are you fucking crazy? Now we're going to go in the store. They're going to think you're gay. Well... True story.
Brian, you're an idiot.
I am an idiot. True fucking story. So I'm gay. True story. I had no idea what I was going to do. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It really takes off with you, doesn't it?
It does, don't it? It really does. And that little voice, uh-oh.
Gosh.
That's something else. You just don't know. I'm not good at small talk. I'm not good at it, you know. But just, you see me in the store, please don't talk to me. I'm not good. Today's show.
That's funny.
True story. Today's show is weird, but true reasons real people have gotten divorced, and we're going to go over that. You know, relationships are hard, and there's nothing
easy
about.
Especially when you come home and tell them that.
Okay, yeah, you leave straight and come home gay. Hello.
Poor person.
Oh, I know. Well, she was married to a, Cindy's funny, because she was married to a gay man, and he came out late, right? So Cindy says, I did that once, and I'm not gonna go through that again. Oh, bitch, just be quiet. What? You're not gay. Oh, all right. So, living with me, Pat, living with me. Poor girl. Oh, she says,
I would say so.
Yeah, I know. She goes through so much. So anyway, weird but true reasons why people get divorced. We can get a little news in there. Pat is here, the world-famous psychic who came back from hospice to hot
hospital.
Pizza.
Hospice is for dying
the
people.
Hospital. And she's alive, and as she kills, she's kicking. And, Pat, how do you feel? Do you feel good? Are you in any pain right now?
Yeah, I am, but I'm going to ignore it because it's just pain.
I hear you.
Know.
I hear
I'm in pain all the time, so.
Well, at least you got it fixed that this pain is going to go away and you don't have to deal with it. You're going to be in a little discomfort for a little bit, and then you're going to be just as new as you were before. You'll be a 19-year-old again, running around topless with your little tube top.
That was a little late for that, isn't it?
I know.
When you turn 65, Brian, that's it, you know?
That's it. You're done.
There's no turning point.
Yeah, really. No, top is for me. Yeah. These are just accessories. It's not to be used or touched or bothered with. But I saw your picture. You're a very pretty girl or lady, woman. There you go. There's my mouth again. I run it, and it can't stop. Sometimes it just takes off like a marathon.
Well, you
so that's what we're going to talk
just
today.
Just tell me I'm an old lady. It's okay.
You're not. You know, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get to that. In fact, one of the stories, and I'm going to make you feel very young because you're not an old lady. So we're going to talk about the weird reasons why people get divorced, and I'm hoping to get to 12 ghost stories. This Halloween is coming, and these are true hauntings. These are true stories. And I haven't gotten to it. Always somebody came into the studio, and I never got to it. I want to get to that. I want to get to continue part three of people who you thought were fantastic people, but they turn out to be assholes. We got a lot of that coming up. We got Pat in the studio, and if Pat's generous, and if you, she is a true psychic, and she's a friend, and she's also a morning crew, which is very special. I gotta get them. I keep telling everybody I give them a morning crew T-shirt. It's a cool T-shirt I made, and I'm going to do it, whether you guys wear it or not. Just saying thank you for your support. So that's what we're going to talk about. First in the news, you know, it was weird things. The first thing in the news that was really weird, and Bob, you know, going on a theory of people you thought were cool people, but they turn out to be assholes. Bob Barker. You know, Price is Right guy, Bobby. You know who he is, right? You didn't think anything that Bob was going to have a scandal, did you? Well, there's a best-kept secret. This is according to Radar Online. Bobby. Headline, Bob Barker, Twisted Double Life. That got my attention. Bob Barker had a double life? Okay. I'm thinking he was spay and neutered your pets. What was Bobby doing?
So what was he doing?
Well, he claimed he carried on a torrid love affair with her co-star, Diane Parkinson. Now, if you remember the old Price is Right with Diane Parkinson, she was a blonde with huge-ass tits. She was one of the models for the products, Diane Parkinson. When they opened up the curtain, there she was with the products and her hand going up and down the products. And apparently her hand went up and down Bobby Boy. The price is right, Bob. Bob. Well, he claimed he had an affair with her. She claimed she was his secret sex slave. I love it. Your cat has perfect cue. She was her secret sex slave.
Meow.
That's right, pussy. That's right. That's right, puss.
Sex slave, eh?
Sex slave. While Bob was standing there, there was things going on. Diane Parkinson claims Bob Barker's sexual abuse left her with a bleeding ulcer. And she quit to save her life in 1993. She quit to save her life.
Real.
Yeah.
Somehow I don't buy that.
Well, that's what she claims. Here we go. The Price is Right model, Diane Parkinson, claims for years that the white-haired host put her through hell by allegedly forcing her into sex acts. Come on down.
I'm having a hard time with that idea.
Well, I don't know. That's what she claims. So the very least we know they had sex. The very least we know he had sex. The very least.
Yeah, is he still around to defend himself?
No, he died. Bobby died.
That's what I thought.
Did he die this year? I think he died this year. I think he died recently. Within the last 6 months,
I thought it was
a
couple of years ago.
I don't know. I thought it was recently, but he did die. A friend of the former game show model told the National Enquirer, she said, I sacrificed my body to keep my job. I was Bob Barker's sex slave, and there was nothing I could do about it. Come on down. You are the next contestant of Bob Barker's sex slave. Yeah. Guess how many inches I got.
Somehow I can't picture Bob Barker slaving anybody.
Yeah. He's in the entertainment business. You know, I saw, if you've seen a picture of Diane Parkinson, woo, 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 she is a hottie. Her body was built for sex. That's all her body. That's what her body says, sex me up. She told me, Bob said, she's telling the writer, Bob laid it on the line. He said that if I wanted to keep my job on the show, I had to give him what he wanted. That's the close friend told the outlet. Diane said he'll call her into the dressing room for sex between shows. She told me he mostly wanted oral sex, and she gave in to Bob to protect her job. Sure. Sucky, sucky. Look at that. She's sucking the Barker. I think she's Barker up the wrong tree, if you ask me.
That sounds a little fishy to me.
Nah. Well, like, maybe she's a douche. I'm thinking it's true.
Probably is, but the point is that I don't think it would have made a difference to her job.
Back in those days, I don't know, but she waited till the guy died. I mean, she left the show. She left the show. He was 70 years old at the time. Parkinson claimed that at the time, 70-year-old TV star threatened to have her fired from her job unless she submitted to his sexual demands. He was 70 at the time. 70. He probably took some of those Viagra pills that they have. I got to watch the show saying, what's the price on his Viagra? It's costing me my career. It's costing Diane her career in a drop. Diane said he'll call her into the dressing room, and Bob got a blowjob. She told me, the writer, Bob Barker made my life a nightmare. That's what she said. Diane said Barker always called himself Daddy. You know, there's something really freaky about that and kind of weird when a guy wants his woman to call him Daddy. I don't know if I want kids with this dude. Call me Daddy. I don't know. You're not probably the right father figure I want to raise my kids. Why is that? Is that sexy? Is that sexy when grown-ass women play the role of a child and they talk as a child and they go, what do you want, Daddy? Isn't that a little kind of weird, like child molestation fantasy? Is that weird or not? If I gone too far, Pat, what do you think?
It is.
I don't.
It is. There's something wrong with it.
Isn't it? It was, you know, it reminds me of a story one time that I went on a date with this girl, and all she talked about was her sexual abuse, and it was a family member. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, poor girl. I better treat her with extra kid gloves, right? We get home, and then she says, spank me, Daddy. Spank me. Tell me I'm naughty. I went, wait a minute. Didn't we just had about an hour talk about how you were abused and how it was awful and everything, and now you want me to spank you and pull your hair? This is weird. Reminds me of that story.
I would be freaked out by that.
Right. It's like one girl, I'm a black guy. One girl I went out with, she goes, I'm into role play. And I go, okay, I'll play the role. What do you want me to play? Your doctor, gynecologist, OBGYN? Goes, no. I want you to play a role. I'm not kidding. She was white. I want you to play a role of the slave. And I'm and massive went to the market. I go, what? She literally took out her belt, my bare butt. I said, this is wrong in so many ways, not even mentioning history. You know what I mean? Is this a racist thing? I don't know what's going on here. But I don't think you want to play role play like, you know, slavery days. Because I wanted to come back as Lincoln and free myself. I'm right out of the house. But anyway. Run, Brian, run. That's what happened. So the price is right, Bob Barker, you naughty, naughty, dirty, dirty bitch. True story.
Really?
I got another one. You're not going to believe it. This goes with the relationship. You're not going to believe what happened to Al Pacino. It's un-fucking believable. We go right into it. Al Pacino. Poor Al. Now, the story, everybody heard the story, Al Pacino, he just got this woman pregnant. She was 23. I think I had Al here. Oh, here we go. How old was she? Al Pacino. She was, Al Pacino was 83-year-old man. 83 years old. 83.
Old enough to be her great-grandfather.
Yeah, 83. And she was 29. 89. Love and marriage, love and marriage. It's the institution. But anyway. Da, 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 da. Now it's in my head. 29, 83. And here's the kicker. The reason why he made the news is because she got pregnant by him. Who gets pregnant by an 83-year-old man? Al Pacino. Hoo-ah! That's how good he is. These Italians have that spermie that's dormant for a long ass time. Their sperm, their guys are swimming. De Niro did the same thing. He just bothered another kid, not just recently. With his young wife. Whoa. Well, here's what happened. This is
well,
what happens
if you
when
can
you're
do
80.
It, you know.
Right. Can you imagine giving a blowjob for an 83-year-old man and put that in your mouth? Yummy. Mm, nom, 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 nom. Yeah. So anyway,
well,
here's what happened.
I can't say I've ever seen one, so, you know.
Yeah. It's a lovely, you got a lovely bunch of coconuts down there. Well, here's what happened. Here's what happened. We all know what's going to happen. See, you know, and I can't blame women, and I say, go for it. Go for it. Because she hit the jackpot. As soon as she got pregnant, guess what she gets? Well, here in the United States. After that, within 2 weeks, she left him. She left him. She
oh,
left
yeah.
him. And she hit the
of
jackpot
course.
Because now he has to pay alimony and child support. The kid's going to be set for life. She no longer have to
so
suck that. Yeah. She no longer has to suck that or lay in bed and have him drool on her forehead while he tries to make love to her. He doesn't have to do that anymore. Al Pacino has enlisted the help of top Hollywood attorney after his girlfriend, Noor Afala, hit him with a court case over their newborn kid. According to the court documents obtained by Radar Online, the 83-year-old actor has hired an attorney, Adam Phillip Lipsink, to help him handle this situation. Lipsink works as a well-respected lawyer from the firm Hirsch & Manis, located in Beverly Hills. Yeah. And her attorney works for a company called Bitch, I Got Your Ass. They're out of Compton. I joke, but almost true. As Radar Online previously reported, Pacino and Afala welcomed a son into the world in June. They have been linked together since April 2022. Sources close to the star said he was surprised when his girlfriend told him she was pregnant with his child, because we all know it's not his child anyway. But I'm thinking he's smart enough to do a DNA, but who cares? Last week, Afala filed a petition to determine parental relationship over her three-month-old child, Roman Pacino, in the Los Angeles Superior Court. There they are. She hit the jackpot, folks. Bingo.
Wow.
She listed Pacino as the father of the child, but asked the court to award her primary custody of Roman. She proposed sharing joint legal custody. No, Pat, it's not the joint that you think it is. There goes Pat. We lost
no
Pat.
No way. No, it's not.
Joint. That's what happens when Pat's at a...
added, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's Pat at the party. Hey, can you pass it? No, this is joint custody, just mine. Which would allow the actor to have a say in the important life decision for his son. In addition, she said Pacino should have visitation rights of the newborn. Her petition asked that he be ordered to cover the legal fees associated with the case. The petition is the first step that Afala needs to take to obtain child support judgments against Pacino. After the birth, the two have been seen having dinner together, hanging out in Los Angeles. Pacino's rep said the two are still in a relationship, but yet they're being divorced. Al and Noor have successfully worked together and have mutually reached agreements regarding their child. They are still together, the rep said. As Radar Online previously reported, sources close to him claims he has no plans to wed Afala. He's not going to marry Noor, but would like to come to a financial settlement, I'm sure she would too, with her and arrange to spend time with her child. So you're holding your child hostage and you're getting financial settlement. She hit the jackpot. The kid never has to work again. It's like, I heard some weird stuff that Yellowstone boy, what's his name? Kevin Costner. His wife just left him. He's in divorce court, and he has to pay something like $183,000 a month on support. $183,000 a month for support. Cha-ching. There you go.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's why I remain broke, because I don't want nobody coming to me saying that, well, you know what, Brian, you owe me this, and go, I'm broke. You just open your legs for nothing, girl. Thank you very much. You get a smile. You get a smile and a slap on the ass. See ya. That's it. Don't be looking in my deep pockets. There's nothing there but deep lint. That's it. And so those are the stories. We do have news if you want to hear it. I'm just going to go down it really quickly. McCarthy, the coward, he orders impeachment inquiry into President Biden. I didn't really want to talk about it. I don't give a fuck, but that's in the news. Kim arrives in Russia ahead of Putin. Let's see if there's any news to hear. Escape. We had this guy who escaped from prison, and he's been on the lam for about a week, and they can't even find him. Escape killer armed and dangerous. Oh, that's what they say. So now he's armed. Let's listen to that story. Here we go. There are some stories I wouldn't listen to that you just can't believe. So this fool escaped from this prison. Well, here you go. And now he's armed and shaved and everything. Somebody's helping his dumb ass. Let's hear the story. Let's see if I got it here. Yep. He's shaved and everything.
Police now warning an escaped killer is armed and dangerous. State police say Danilo Cavalcante is now believed to have a rifle after stealing it from a resident's garage.
In my opinion, I believe it was a crime of opportunity. I think he went in there probably trying to hide. The garage door was open. He didn't, recognize that the owner was in there, and I think he was probably looking for a place to hide. Ran for that garage, saw the firearm, grabbed that, encountered the homeowner, and fled with the firearm.
They say that homeowner shot at Cavalcante with a pistol, but they don't believe he is injured. The police also said they're now sending out fresh crews to search. ABC's Morgan Norwood joins me from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, with more. Morgan, now that Cavalcante is armed, what steps are they taking to try to keep the community and those surrounding areas safe?
Well, Diane, you hit the nail on the head. You mentioned those fresh crews that are now fanning out. 500 officers now on the ground. You've got federal, state, border patrol, U.S. Marshals. You've got tactical teams also on the ground there. We're also learning that schools within that search area have been shut down. They are closed today. Now, officials have not issued any evacuation orders, but again, they are asking this community to be on alert, to be vigilant, secure their homes, secure their vehicles, and just remain on alert as they continue to scour that search zone.
Morgan, what are you learning about the timeline here? Because it's day 13 now that he's on the run, and we've seen the search area expand and contract. Now he's armed. Where do they see this going?
Yeah, you know, Diane, it seems like the biggest game of cat and mouse, right? A lot of movement overnight. As you mentioned, another confirmed sighting, this one after Cavalcante managed to get into someone's garage, take a firearm, that homeowner then shooting at Cavalcante, on the run once again, and if police now establishing at least, it sounds like, some level of perimeter, able to figure out at least a general consensus of an area that they're now focusing in on. But you're right, it's been back and forth. We went from 8-square-mile perimeter just outside of here in Kennett Square, Longwood Gardens, then 4 square miles. He was able to evade that, end up 25 miles away, and now with a dangerous rifle in his hands as well, adding another element of danger to this already complicated and drawn-out search.
So what is the fact that he is armed now? They know he has a gun, a rifle with a scope and a light. How does that change the search here?
You know, I think it makes it a little bit more complicated, not just for law enforcement, but also for residents here. You got to think, you know, this is very not only frustrating for them that we're on day 12 and they continue to be on alert, another community on alert now that he hasn't been caught. But then you've got someone, a convicted killer, with this rifle in their hand. So I'd imagine that, you know, residents over there in northern Chester County are kind of looking over their shoulder. They're, of course, remaining vigilant, but there's that element of fear now. But then also for law enforcement, they've got these tech teams, highly trained individuals, scouring the ground, combing that area now. But that's one element of danger that they also have to be on alert for, as you've got Cavalcante now armed and considered dangerous. Diane?
All right. Morgan Norwood in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. Thanks, Morgan. Stay safe.
Wow. There you go. There you go. You got an armed killer running around. Isn't it kind of coincidence that you break into this this garage and there's a gun there? It's kind of convenient, isn't it? Suspicious, suspicious, suspicious. You know, in California, I hate this. They're talking about you would see more and more people wearing the mask now. More and more people are wearing masks. You'll notice it. And the CDC is getting really, out of control. Here's the story on that. Just on COVID. It's just interesting.
Sutton joins me now for more on this. First off, congratulations on the new title.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton joins me now for more on this. First off, congratulations on the new title.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So, Dr. Sutton, let's talk about boosters. let's start with the short but not so simple question. Who needs them and why?
So that's a question that's going to be decided today. The CDC advisory panel meets today. As you know, the FDA approved the new shot yesterday for the new booster. That's going to be likely approved today by the CDC advisory panel, and then we wait for the likely approval from the CDC director. Right now, what we know is that the FDA has approved the shot for those over the age of 6 months. The goal of the meeting today is to decide at what times do people get it, who should get it, what contraindications to not getting it, and any restrictions.
What do we know about the efficacy and possible side effects so far?
So the side effects that were listed in the preliminary studies seem to be very similar to what we've seen in terms of side effects from prior shots, the arm soreness, the fatigue, the muscle aches, and sometimes even a fever. And as far as the effectiveness, that's still yet to be fully determined. From prior boosters, we can see that that effectiveness ranges from 40% up to 50%, 60%, almost 70% reduction in the risk of hospitalization, because that's the goal of these shots, to reduce your risk of getting hospitalized and dying from COVID-19.
And what about when you're talking about kids, particularly the little ones? What do parents need to know when trying to make the decision as to whether a booster is right for their kids?
I think that discussion is up for the parent and also in a discussion with the pediatrician. Obviously, we know that children are at a lower risk comparative to, for example, older adults, but the risk isn't zero. And children are likely going to be introduced into environments where they're surrounded by a lot of other kids, as you know, and that's going to likely lead them to having an infection. For some kids, unfortunately, it seems as though they're always having a cold, and
yep.
it's likely one of the reasons.
As a mother of a four-year-old and a two-year-old,
can confirm.
Fever
seems to be never-ending, and that's likely just recurrent infections of different types. So as we step into the new year, the goal is to protect your child as best as possible, and that includes updating their vaccine status, and not just for COVID-19, but also for the flu, and we also have new therapeutics for infants as far as protecting them for RSV.
What are you watching for from the CDC meeting today?
I would like to see how they are going to discuss the information. The CDC advisory panel meetings are public and openly casted, and so you can join in and watch. Most people might not have the time for 6-7 hours to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, there's a public discussion.
That's why we pay you, right, to watch it all and then give us
and
the clips.
And I'm going to sit there with bells and whistles. I'm so excited. And at the end, there's a public discussion, and then we'll see that.
He's gay. Oh, at the end is... Excuse me while I laugh, gay. You clean shaven, all neat and everything. You can tell when a person's gay. They're clean shaven. There's no hair in their face. They're dressed nice. And you know what? The giveaway is their shiny shoes. They always have shiny shoes. If you see a man with shiny shoes and his nails are manicured, gay. Pretty much, they're gay. You know, people are waiting for Apple to release their products, and Apple is having problems with China. And every year they come up. Here we go.
Product launch today, and it's expected to announce the iPhone 15 and new Apple Watches. But the spotlight may be on something else entirely. The biggest headline could actually have to do with charging. Business reporter Alexis Christophorus has the latest intel on that event. Alexis, could we finally be saying goodbye to the Lightning port?
Maybe, and it's going to be a really big change. The last time that Apple changed out its charging port was back in 2012, and that was a bit of a headache. So get ready. What we could see today is with this new unveil of the iPhone 15, we could see them switch out their proprietary Lightning charging port for the standard universal USB-C port. And it's not because Apple wanted to do this necessarily. The European Union is now regulating that all tech makers have this universal charger by the year 2024, so time was running out.
Mm.
They're trying to make things more convenient for people. They want to get rid of e-waste. I mean, in the long run, I know in the short term it's going to be a pain, but it does mean that you can now use one charger for multiple devices, for like your Beats headphone, your Mac laptop, your phone. So I think in the long run, people will like it.
Yeah, this is different from previous changes because a lot of people already have that charger at home just for something else. And every
exactly.
time you travel, you have to bring
like
three different chargers.
Like a whole myriad of, like,
you know,
wires and what have you. Yeah.
Okay, so we could be streamlining.
Why they call it a smartphone? Because bubbleheads cannot put that little cord in the phone and that other end into the AC. Whoa! You have to do all that, and then you got to change it. And you're driving, you cannot put it in your AC adapter into your. Now it's confusing. Oh, all this stuff. You mean I could just have one charge into my computer? Yeah. Oh, how much is it going to cost? Oh, about $5,000. Good price. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Just take off your top and call it a day. Shut up. Here's a good story, and this is lots of our stories right here. So this 12-year-old rescues this man who was drowning in a pool. If you have to be rescued by a 12-year-old, maybe you should not have a pool. You ever think of that? How is a 12-year-old rescue this guy? Here's the story.
Moments, a 12-year-old saved a life as a therapist, first pulling the unconscious man out of a swimming pool, then administering CPR. Eva Pilgrim is here now with more on this incredible story. Good morning.
It's not an incredible story. Guy's a pedophile. He's a grown-ass man in shallow water in a pool, all of a sudden pretending he's drowning, knowing he's a therapist, probably a sex therapist, and a boy sees him going, oh, I must rescue big guy here. And so he jumps in the pool, 12-year-old pulls the guy out, and you know it's fake because the guy's, you know, he has a hard on, and he's splashing the water. It's like a little boat kind of thing with his hard on. Using it as a paddle. He's using it as a paddle. And then the 12-year-old gives him mouth-to-mouth. This is something. Come on. I wouldn't even buy this on Pornhub. I call fake and bullshit. Oh, look at me. I'm drowning. I need your 12-year-old boy lips on me. Ugh, I'm going to use my penis as a paddle as you rescue me. Shut up. Shut up.
You know, it could have happened.
Yeah. And you know what? And here's the headline. Caught on camera. Who the hell is videotaping this? Okay, let's see what's going to happen. It's kind of a coincidence that it gets videotaped from the beginning. Like, here's a boy sitting there, you know, with his sippy cup, and there's a grown-ass man, and the boy runs in, and they're videotaping this. So the guy with the camera is not coming in and jumping in and helping this man or calling the police. No, they're going to make sure they get everything on tape. Come on, man. Come on.
You sure it wasn't just a basic backyard cam?
No. Who would put a camera near the pool, if you know what I'm talking about?
I would.
Chicky baby.
Mm-hmm. I would.
Oh, you would? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would. For safety.
I can hear John. Honey, why we have four cameras in the backyard by the pool when Ramon's there cleaning the pool, the pool boy? Oh, Ramon's taking off his shirt. Oh, look at that. Uh-oh, those tiny little shorts. get in the pool. Get those shorts wet. Oh, look at Ramon splashing around. Oh, look. I think he's drowning. I must go in and rescue Ramon and put my lips on him and save his life. Hold the phone, honey. Make sure you videotape this. I'm coming, Ramon.
You're awesome. Totally different thing.
Yeah, sure. Use your penis to paddle. Help me, Ramon. Yes, baby. Hola, hola. And that's our news for today. When we come back, our big story, weird but true reasons why real people have gotten divorced. That's it. That's our main topic. That's what we're going to do. That's our story. And so I'm gonna get a coffee break here, and when we come back, hopefully I got all the company I need. I got Laverne listening. I can feel her. Hi, sweetheart. Let's say hello to Laverne. Hello, Laverne. Vernie. Hi,
hi,
baby. Yes, I got Pat in the room, and that's basically what I need, Laverne and Patty. And don't forget, the show is sponsored by Pat Oberlin's Bakery in Niagara Falls.
Oh, come on.
That's right. With that steak is Patty Cakes, the real cake. It'll make you trip, and you don't have to pack your luggage to do it. Her brownies are the bomb. Pat Oberlin's Patty Cakes. And the phone number to come in the show is 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. And that's it. Oh, you know, this song is supposed to be the orgasm. So this group got together, and they're all females. You got to listen closely. They're all females. And they decided to do an experiment. And what the experiment is that they're going to have an orgasm while they're singing. That's the experiment. So I think they're hot chicks. So they're going to sing this song, and the purpose of the song is them having an orgasm, each one of them having an orgasm while they're singing the song. So it's all true. So we're going to listen to that, and we'll be right back to listen to Brian Hammer Jackson along with special guest Pat Oberlin. And maybe Pat will read my cards today, because I'd like to know what's in my future, or anybody else, the first two people come in. And we're giving away $200 today. So if you come in the studio within 2 seconds, you can win it. Oh! All right, here's the orgasm song, and we'll be right back after this. Listen for the orgasm.
All I really wanna know is if you ever gonna show, 'cause now we're moving too slow. If you want it, go then go. All I really wanna know is if you ever gonna show, 'cause now we're moving too slow. If you want it, go then go. All I really wanna know is if you ever gonna show, 'cause now we're moving too slow. If you wanna go, then go. If you wanna go, then go. If you wanna go, then go. All I have is, all I have is you. If you want to go, then go. If you want to go, then go. If you want to go, then go.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
because I'm happy. And today's show is sponsored by Pat Oberlin Bakery, home of patty cakes. That's right. If you get too high, you might want to buy patty cakes. Thank you. Once in a while, There's Patty. Patty cakes. Once in a while.
Yeah.
We get
you
a request.
You should be promoting Ellen.
I know. Well, once in a while, we get a request, and this person wants to stay anonymous, and I will, because we have a little break right now. I'm just going to play one last song, and here's the request from Anonymous. Dear Brian, I'm a sexy older lady. Mm-hmm. Beautiful body. Uh-huh. I love to bring joy and happiness to everyone, especially you. Uh-huh. I am sitting here with my bra on but no panties. And I'm not going to give it away. I live in Niagara Falls in Canada, and I'm a psychic. Sign anonymous. Can you please play me a song? Yes, I will. And this song goes out to you, Anonymous, in Niagara Falls, home of patty cakes. Oops, did I give it away?
I think so.
And here's your song, Pat.
Roll another blunt. Yeah. Oh, good.
La, la, da, 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 da. La,
you.
Da, da, da. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Yeah.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. La, la, my room
la, la,
is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I got high. La, la, da, 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 da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. La, la, I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why,
why? Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Go to the next. Go to the next. Go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
La, la, they took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high, la, 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 da, da, da.
I wasn't gonna run from the cops, but I was high. I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. La, la, da, da.
Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Because yeah. I got high, because I got high, because I got high. La, 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 da, da, da.
I was gonna make love to you.
I was gonna eat your pussy too.
Now I'm jacking off, and I know why.
Turn the shit off.
Yeah, because I got high.
Keep going.
Because I got high.
Hey, do that over, man.
Because I got high.
There you go. What do you think?
I absolutely love that song. It's very much like me. Yes.
What a wonderful song. Just a wonderful song. Here we go. Weird but true. Weird but true, Pat. These are people who got divorced. Well, before we get there, here's a person on TED Talk. He said, how understanding divorce can help your marriage. Yeah. So sometimes getting a divorce can help your marriage, and how you can understand divorce can help your marriage. We're going to get about 6 minutes, so if you guys want to get some coffee and donuts, fine. Here it is. Oops, technical difficulties. Because I'm high.
When we get married, we make vows to love, to honor, to forsake all others. Or as a friend of mine put till death do us part. When we get married, we make vows to love, to honor, to forsake all others. Or as a friend of mine put it, not to leave dirty socks all over the house. We may fall short of some of our promises some of the time, but one that will always hold true is that first one, till death do us part. Because spouses are bound together by their decisions in marriage and in divorce. So a mentor of mine once told me, you should always marry your second husband first. What did that mean? It didn't mean that Mr. Wright is somehow waiting behind door number two. It meant that if you want to understand what makes a marriage work, you should think about how a marriage ends. Divorce makes extremely explicit what the tacit rules of marriage are. And everyone should understand those rules, because doing so can help us build better marriages from the beginning. I know it doesn't sound very romantic, but sometimes the things we do out of love can be the very things that make it hard for that love to last. I am a family law professor. I have taught students. I've been an attorney. I'm a mediator. And I've also been divorced. And I'm now happily married to my actual second husband. The reason that I think this is so important is that I think everyone should be having some of these very painful conversations that divorced people experience. These are painful conversations about what we contributed, what we owe, what we are willing to give, and what we give up, and also what's important to us. Those conversations should be happening in a good marriage, not after it is broken. Because when you wait until it's broken, it's too late. But if you have them early on, they can actually help build a better marriage. Three ideas that I want to put on the table for you to consider. One, sacrifice should be thought of as a fair exchange. Two, there's no such thing as free childcare. And three, what's yours probably becomes ours. So let me talk about each of these ideas. The first one, sacrifice should be a fair exchange. Take the example of Lisa and Andy. Lisa decides to go to medical school early in the marriage, and Andy works to support them. And Andy works night shifts in order to do that, and he also gives up a great job in another city. He does this out of love. But, of course, he also understands that Lisa's degree will benefit them both in the end. But after a few years, Andy becomes neglected and resentful, and he starts drinking heavily. And Lisa looks at her life, and she looks at Andy, and she thinks, this is not the bargain I wanted to make. A couple of years go by, she graduates from medical school, and she files for a divorce. So in my perfect world, some kind of marriage mediator would have been able to talk to them before Lisa went to medical school. And at that point, that mediator might have asked, how exactly does fair exchange work? What does it look like in your marriage? What are you willing to give, and what are you willing to owe? So in a divorce, Lisa now probably is going to owe Andy financial support for years. And Andy, no amount of financial support is going to make him feel compensated for what he gave up and the lost traction in his career. If the two of them had thought about their split early on, what might have...
You cannot almost imagine the scale of this place. Through the AI deep learning model that we've developed with Dell Technologies, the AI is making...
Really?
If the two of them had thought about their split early on, what might have gone differently? Well, it's possible that Lisa would have decided that she would take loans or work a part-time job in order to support her own tuition so that Andy wouldn't have had to bear the entire burden for that. And Andy might have decided to take that job in that other city, and maybe the two of them would have commuted for a couple of years while Lisa finished her degree. So let's take another couple, Emily and Deb. They live in a big city. They have two children. They both work. Emily gets a job in a small town, and they decide to move there together. And Deb quits her job to look after the children full time. Deb leaves behind an extended family, her friends, and a job that she really liked. And in that small town, Deb starts to feel isolated and lonely. And 10 years later, Deb has an affair, and things fall apart. Now, the marriage mediator who would have come in before they moved and before Deb quit her job might have asked them, what do your choices about childcare do to the obligations you have to each other? How do they affect your relationship? Because you have to remember that there is no such thing as free childcare. If the two of them had thought about their split beforehand, what would have gone differently? Well, maybe Deb would have realized a little better how much her family and her friends were important to her precisely in what she was taking on, which is full-time parenthood. Perhaps Emily, in weighing the excitement of the new job offer, might have also thought about what that would mean for the cost to Deb and what would be owed to Deb as a result of her taking on full-time parenthood. So let's go back to Lisa and Andy. Lisa had an inheritance from her grandmother before the marriage, and when they got married, they bought a home, and Lisa put that inheritance toward a down payment on that home. And then Andy, of course, worked to make the mortgage payments. And all of their premarital and marital property became joined. That inheritance is now marital property. So in a split, what's going to happen? They're going to have to sell the house and split the proceeds, or one of them can buy the other out. So this marriage mediator, if they had talked to them before all of this happened, that person would have asked, what do you want to keep separate? And what do you want to keep together? And how does that choice actually support the security of the marriage? Because you have to remember that what's yours probably will become ours unless you actually are mindful and take steps to do otherwise. So if they had thought about their split, maybe they would have decided differently. Maybe Lisa would have thought maybe the inheritance can stay separate and saved for a day when they might actually need it. And maybe the mortgage that they took on wouldn't have been as onerous, and maybe Andy wouldn't have had to work so hard to make those payments. And maybe he would have become less resentful. Maybe they would have lived in a smaller house and been content to do that. The point is, if they had had a divorce-conscious discussion about what to keep separate, their marriage might have been more connected and more together. Too often in marriage, we make sacrifices and we demand them without reckoning their cost. But there is wisdom in looking at the price tags attached to our marital decisions in just the way that divorce law teaches us to do. What I want is for people to think about their marital bargains through the lens of divorce and to ask, how is marriage a sacrifice, but an exchange of sacrifice? How do we think about our exchange? Second, how do we think about childcare and deal with the fact that there is no such thing as free childcare? How do we deal with the fact that some things can be separate and some things can be together, and if we don't think about it, then it will all be part of the joint enterprise? So basically, what I want to leave you with is that in marriage or divorce, people should think about the way that till death do us part, marriage is forever. Thank you.
And she has a point. I understand how marriage benefited the female back in the day. I do. I understand that jobs were not easy for women back in the day. I agree that the salaries were not equal to men even now. If you live in California, they say if you're one person and you make $70,000 annually, you're considered low income. You're considered low income to this day in California. So I understand. But nowadays, women are holding such great positions, and they're getting great, thanks to affirmative action, by the way. But they still keep women at a certain level. It's still wrong. I think corporate world let women go up to a certain level, and then they stop them there. That glass ceiling is there, and I think it's really wrong. There's a lot of qualified women that should go past it, but it's still a man's world. It is, you like it or not, it's a man's world. Actually, if you want to be more identify, it's a white man's world. It is. Women will
really?
Never reach servos. Yeah, and at least in the United States it is. Women will never reach
it depends what country you're in, Brian.
I believe I can only talk for the United States. I wonder how many billionaire, this is interesting, how many billionaire women are there? That would be a very interesting study. Billionaire women in 2023. Let's see how many. What is your guess, Pat? And we're talking about the United States. I can't speak for Canada. But how many billionaire women in the United States?
Well, there's got to be a few.
Yeah.
Like
well, you're gonna
up
be
to 10.
You think 10? Okay, we'll go 10. You know, I'm really surprised. You know, there's a company called L'Oreal. I guess it's a cosmetic company,
yeah.
Makeup company, L'Oreal. This woman,
yeah.
Her name is Frances, Bettercourt Mayers. She is the wealthiest woman in the world. She is worth $94.8 billion. $94.8 billion.
Wow.
Another woman. Her name is Alice Walton. She's number two. She's worth $61 billion. $61 billion. Julia Koch, Koch, K-O-C-H. She's the third wealthiest billionaire in the United States, as far as women are concerned. She's worth $59 billion.
Wow.
And Jacqueline Mars, she's number four. She's worth $38 billion.
Mm-hmm.
There are 330.
So how many are there?
337 women who are billionaires.
Wow.
337. Now, before we go, wow, what is the United States? How many? What's the population of the United States? Oh, damn. Forgot what the population is.
Pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty big. that's my official thing. Was it 3 billion? I'm not quite sure. But 337 women in a year 2023 are the world's billionaire. The wealthiest one is Francis Bedworth Myers. Bettencourt Myers. I think she's probably a Bear Myers. And that's it. This woman's age 60 years old, and she's with Julia Koch family, and she's worth $59 billion.
Wow.
59. And 30 richest women in the world, I can name them. Some are in Canada, I can name them. My point of the matter is, back in the day, I understood what marriage was about. You know, we can go way far back, that the men were the hunters, the women were the bakers and the cooks. Whether she got the old story in the United States that says you can fall in love with a rich man is just as easy as falling in love with a poor man. Women have sacrificed love for money. Women have sacrificed health, love for money, comfort for money. Women had made kids just to cement that relationship because they had to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're, some would say, Mr. Solution, that women are inferior than men. It wasn't it. It is a man's world, and they didn't like women to work. And I had this conversation. I don't want to go on this conversation too much. I had this conversation with a person down the street the other day that women are afraid to ask for salary, are afraid to ask for raises. Women don't take risk in a workplace. They know how hard it is to get there. Therefore, they don't go up the corporate ladder to this day. We had some men in the studio, including Stanley, saying that he won't hire a beautiful woman. And we had some other people saying, I won't hire a beautiful woman there either, because they figure sooner or later down the road, there's going to be some sexual harassment suits going on here. Payday. They don't want anything to do with that. Or the other thing is, I'm not going to hire an older person who's a woman, because she's going to retire anyway and the insurance is going to go through the roof. And she's going to miss too many days of work, whether her back or her health problems or anything. They're going to say no. And when I say older women, we're not talking women in their 60s. We're talking women in their early 40s. This is how life.
That's ridiculous.
And they're not going to. What corporate world. It is. But this is what corporate has to think about when they hire a woman. And then they don't want. And then they. If you had a woman who's coming out of university who's 26, and you have a woman who's 45 who's been out of the workplace for a while because she has kids and blah, 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 she's coming back after 5 years, they're going to hire the young kid with no experience because they're going to get the most out of her. That woman 45 have kids, child care, maternity leave,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but the young ones get married, leave, and have kids.
Some will.
It's better to hire the older ones.
There was a time.
They're finished with that.
There was a time that they wouldn't hire married women. They would not hire, men would not hire married women. There was a time that they would not do that because of the kids and this and maternal leave and all this. She's going to get pregnant and all this. Men would not hire her. So you're heading. So my point of it is, women are still faced with all these prejudices and these moronic thoughts and who they are. And but I just showed you 337 million billionaires. And don't think, oh yeah, but they inherited that money. No, they worked for it. And they need more women role models like that. There's a lot of women who run tech companies or coding and all that, but you're not getting enough airplay that a lot of women are still thinking, I'm going to grow up to marry a ball player. I'm going to grow up to marry, I'm going to college. I'm going to university so I can marry a guy who's going to be a doctor or an accountant or a computer tech. You still got little girls who are thinking that way. This is why women are not going to climb that high up the ladder because they're not going to take the risk. Look what happened to Martha Stewart. It is stupid, but look what happened to Martha Stewart. She got really big and they threw her in jail for inside trading. Now she's having a commercial with Snoop Dogg.
She did her own downfall there.
She did. She did.
You know, you can't blame that on her being a woman. It's a matter of stupidity that she got caught in the first place.
Right.
You know, she shouldn't have been doing it.
Right. So I can understand this goes in the same thing where this woman was talking about divorce and she makes sense. She makes sense. And people don't think, see, I'm happy to be the person that I have such a, one woman called me cocky, and thank you as a compliment to me. But my eyes up here, lady, my eyes are up here, call me cocky. I'm cocky humble. So it's like I'm crumble. I don't know. So anyway, that's just how it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. But it is a white man's world, and I don't care if you're in Canada, I don't care if you're in Germany, I don't care if you're in Italy, I don't care if you're in France, I don't care if you're in the United States. It is a white man's world. It is. And as soon as we could accept that, we could change that, because that's the reason why your women are not taking risk at work. That's the reason why child care is not, should, I think child care should be part of the hiring or one of the benefits that you get. You know, back in the United States, we have cost of living wages. You know, you get a bonus every year. I think that should have, I think on the end of it, it should be child care. I think there should be a child care bump. Because if she's putting that much money in your company, making you that much money, you should have a stipend for child care. You know what I'm saying? You get more and more quality people there. But men don't think about child care. In fact, you got some men taking off work in the United States, Pat. We have some men taking maternity leave. They have maternity leave for men. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Guy
some
can take
men
up to
are
3 months.
More maternal than women.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some men are just more maternal than women.
That's true. I'm maternal. I mean, I'll hug you. I'll hug you in my bosoms.
Then you have the gay couples that adopt, you know. Or
yeah.
A surrogate baby.
That's I never understood the surrogate. I never understood I'm going to pay somebody to, or I'm going to implant a woman, my sperm into this woman so she can rule my baby. Shut up with that nonsense. Stupid. Shut up. Then they wonder why. Oh, she decided to keep the baby. We're going to go to court. Good luck, pal. Good luck. Because basically she's a prostitute, a baby prostitute, meaning that, okay, I'll sell my body and you're going to plant a human being inside me, and I'll carry it for 9 months and pay me millions of dollars. Basically, you're a baby prostitute. Men will pay. Men will pay. So I agree with this woman. Think about, you know, some women, but see, some people are not meant to be married. There are some people who are so toxic that they should not be married. There are some people who are too ugly should not have children. I think if you got two ugly people,
true.
If I was a doctor and you got ugly people coming in, knock, knock, Dr. Jackson, ooh, yikes. Well, we're two ugly people and we want to have a baby. I would try to talk you out of it. Why? Isn't there enough ugliness in this world? Why do you need a baby?
Brian, that's terrible.
Well, it's true.
Brian,
they have really?
Like everybody else.
Oh, really? Oh, what, you're with the ugly baby union? I mean, where you got to protest for ugly babies? Hell no, we don't flow. Come on. Pat, you have seen some ugly babies.
It's no guarantee that the baby will come out like that, because I've seen a lot of couples that have sweet little babies that
Right.
are just scary.
You know when they have the ugly dog contest, they should have the ugly baby contest instead of the beautiful baby contest. They should have with the ugly baby contest too. Just the ugliest baby ever. Give him a scholarship or her a scholarship. But Pat, have you seen ugly? Be honest. Have you seen ugly babies? And you look at the parents going, "Why? Why did you make this? Why did you make this monstrosity that you call the son?" Have you ever seen that?
Really?
Yeah. Come on, you have seen it. You have seen ugly babies. You have never seen an ugly baby.
Well, yeah, I've seen some, but they didn't grow up that way. They just looked pretty scary as babies, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, and
I have
there's
seen
some
babies.
People that have babies that look good and turn out, like, scary.
Well,
yeah.
Can you look at a couple and say, these are not the most attractive people in the world? And they're going to mate and have an early baby, early man baby. You can see it. It's like, don't do it. You know, there's other ways of having a good relationship if you're ugly. You could do a hand job. You can do a blow job. Maybe just masturbate to porn. But you don't have to have a baby together.
No.
You know what I mean? I think there should be a law that just throw them in jail, give them 6 months probation just for being ugly.
Yeah.
You're thinking, why do I come back to this show? What did I really miss? I can do without this. This was never in my head.
There's moments, dear.
Yeah, there's moments. There are moments like, oh, God. Help me, John. Help me. Stop this addiction. All right. There's moments. I don't know how we got into ugly babies, but okay. They're fair game with the babies. But ugly baby's going to do protest me, quit my show. It's going to not say, oh, today's show is sponsored by ugly babies. If your baby's atrocious, seek help. What about plastic surgery for babies? What do you think about that, Pat? Think we should open that up?
No.
You don't think we should have plastic surgery for babies?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to get the cure.
Unless there was some sort of serious problem, like cleft palate or something, you know.
Right. Or their ears are a little spocky, like on Star Trek, and you just kind of pin them, you know, pin those ears back a little bit. You know what I mean? Give them a little touch.
No, because they usually grow okay. It's just, you know, they might be sticking out a bit for a while.
Oh, there you go. Well, the bottom line is some people should not get married. There are certain people, for one. Some people are not meant to be married. Some people are not meant to be around human beings. For one. There's a song that says, "She won't let me F." Let me hear a little, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me hear this for a minute. What is this song? "She won't let me F." Never heard of this song. Well, maybe I can't get it. It's just one of these things. "She won't let me F." It's by Afro Man again. Here's a little bit of it. Listen to this. It's a little bit of it. "She won't let me F." I always get sidetracked with these little things because they're just so weird to me. Why would anybody sing "She won't let me F"? She won't. Okay, here it is. "She won't let me fuck." Okay, and they spell fuck F-U-C-C so they can get away with it. Okay, I guess here it is right here. Damn it.
"Hey, sugar, how you doing?
Your pretty face don't match that nasty attitude. Meanwhile, my girl, probably with your man. Can we fuck?
She won't let me fuck.
Baby.
I'm gonna need to bust a nut. Oh, 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 oh. She won't let me fuck. Need to bust
but your telephone number is wrong. home late, and if I can see your lingerie,
I'm
real far away.
I'm gonna need to bust a nut.
It's tricky.
You must think I'm gay. Yeah. Ooh, oh, 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 oh,
yeah.
Hey, cuz, look at this
oh,
light. Don't make me beg.
Woo!
Baby, let me rub your legs.
Just rub.
Don't
your
make
head.
Me cry. Look into my eyes.
Come on,
girl, you so damn pretty. Stop acting so sadistic.
Let me
put some oil on your dick. Hey, man, I'm a body and she don't want to fuck, girl.
That's catchy. Yeah. Because you won't let me fuck. Ooh. Because I really need to bust a nut. That is catchy. Oh, man. All right. So 35 ways. Here we go. 35 ways to leave your lover. Remember that song? No, it was 50 ways to leave your lover, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there's 50 ways to leave your lover. What were some of the ways?
Yeah, that was in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. What were some of the ways? There must be 50 ways
oh,
to leave your lover.
Oh, there were too many. There was so many.
It was. It's like,
it was,
get out the back.
You'd have to play the song.
What was it? Dan, get out. Oh, my God. There must be 50 ways to leave. See if I can remember. 50 ways to leave your lover. Was it Roy? Leave your key. Oh my God! What's my short-term memory? 50 ways to leave your lover. Okay, get out the back, Jack. Making new plans, Dan. Don't need to be coy, Roy. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Let me see what this is. There must be 50 ways. And you know who sung it? It was Paul Simon sung it.
Yeah, there was Hop on the Bus, Chuck, and stuff like that.
No, Hop on the Bus, Gus. Remember?
Gus.
Hop
okay.
on the Bus, Chuck. Yeah. No, Chuck is the one that
Gus.
Says, do you want to fuck Chuck? But yeah, no, Hop on the Bus, Gus.
Okay,
you don't
I'm
need
wrong.
To be. You well, Hop on the Bus, Gus. You don't need something
don't
stand.
Need to be
you don't
coy,
need
Roy.
To, yeah, you don't need to be coy, right? Just set yourself free. Let me hear it a little bit. Let me hear it.
Problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself. At the risk of being cruel, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, man. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just come off the key. Make a new plan, man. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, man. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key and get yourself free. She said it grieves me so to see you in such pain. I wish there was something I could do to make you smile again. I appreciate that. And would you please explain about the 50 ways? She said. said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight? And I believe in the morning you begin to see the light. And then she kissed me, and I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, yeah. Make a new plan, Sam. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, cause you don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Slip out the back.
Yeah, there you go. They had to make a black version of that, right? What would be a black version of that? Get off my bone, Tyrone. Don't be silly, Willie. Okay. There must be 50 ways to get an eviction. The money's all spent. Oh, they ought to do a black version, 50 ways to get an eviction. Oh. I know, Laverne. I know. This is where she's going to go, I know. I know, Laverne. I know. You know, I could. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something. I know we have to get to the ghost stories. I'm going to read the ghost stories and the 35 people who you thought were nice. But this is important. I could feel. You know what? We're both spiritual. We're both spiritual, Pat. You know we are.
Yeah.
And I feel. I do feel the power of the Laverne. I do. And what I'm going to do, she got powerful mojo. She got powerful mojo. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read her cards. What do you think, Pat? I'm going to read her cards.
Go for it.
You think I should read it?
Go for it.
Might be against her will, but she's a very spiritual woman. And I feel her.
She'll call in to stop you at this point.
She'll call in to stop me. Stop me. I'm going to stop you right now. The entities that you are channeling are not true. I will sue you. There must be 50 ways to kill you, Brian. I won't do that. That would be fun. I thought it would be fun, but I won't do that. Here we go. 35. Could run out of time. These are people, you know, Pat, these are people that you thought were cool people, but they really weren't. They really weren't cool people at all. Well, like Winston Churchill, we went to Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, just to name a few, Mahan Gandhi, when we found out that he liked young girls, very young. Christopher Columbus, we know all about what he did. You know, we went on Charlie Chaplin. We found out what he was like. I'm only going to read a couple. I'm not going to stay long, but this just fascinates me about John Lennon. We know what he was like. You know, Mother Teresa, she loves people who suffer. That was her thing. John Lennon, he's a chief. John Wayne was a racist. We went through that. Steve Jobs, he could care less about his daughter or anything like that. He was cruel. They say he was cruel in general. Eric Clapton, he was capable of holding his liquor. Once in the 70s, Clapton, who was visibly drunk, began ranting at a concert about keeping Britain white. Eric Clapton. Maybe he wasn't talking about white people. Maybe he was thinking about cocaine. Ba 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 bum. Remember that song? Dum, dum. Cocaine. Thomas Jefferson. Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss was not such a nice guy. You know what I mean? He was, some people call him a racist. T.S. Eliot was not too good. Elvis Presley, we already heard that he took Priscilla when he was 14 in the United States. Henry Ford, the guy who was a car, he loved Hitler. Frank Sinatra was not such a great guy. He threatened and he shot a gun at somebody, Michael Jackson. They took the reputation of him with child abuse. Ernest Hemingway was a bastard. We all know about it. He was just a bastard. Aristotle, the great philosopher, he thought it was men who shaped children into human beings, not women. He didn't like women at all. He says what he thought about women, he thought that they were basically retards. That's Aristotle. We went to Don King, Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, he ended up killing 49 of the Park 53 endangered vultures. He killed vultures. Chuck Berry, we knew about Chuck Berry. Little kid chasing a girl across state lines. Albert Einstein did not like women. We thought he was great. Alexander Graham Bell, he was not a great fan of people. He wanted, Alexander Graham Bell was, he invented the telephone, okay? But he had a darker side. He campaigned to eliminate deaf people. He wanted deaf people off the planet, believe it or not. He wanted to get rid of them. How's that? And that's your Alexander Graham Bell. He wanted them gone.
How did he want to get rid of them?
He didn't say, but he wanted them gone. He had a campaign against deaf people. Of course, if you have a campaign against deaf people, all you got is people going, what? 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 I can't hear you. You can say anything. You can say anything to a deaf person. Yeah, it's like, huh? I mean, what are they going to protest? I mean, they are the worst witnesses. So, Mr. Deaf Man on trial, yes, you are a witness from the prosecution. What? You're the witness. What? Did you hear anything? What? They're the worst thing. There's two people you can make fun of and not have to worry about being protested are the deaf and the blind. I mean, can you imagine seeing blind protesters with the signs? Come on. Is this one of those days that you don't want to be on a show, Pat? I don't want to be associated with. This show is sponsored by Pat Overland's Bakery. Patty Cakes.
I'm a little distracted at this point because I'm in a bit of pain, so.
Oh, no. We're going to end the show right now because I don't want you in any pain. We're going to end the show. We're going to end the show. We're going to end the show. I don't want you. The Dalai Lama was not a good person. He was a wolf in monk's clothes. They call him. He's a devil with a human face. The Dalai Lama, we feel like there's nobody in the world we can look up to after fleeing in India. It said that the Dalai Lama no longer owns slaves, but that doesn't make the situation that much horrifying. At least he changes. So he owned a lot of slaves. He is known to own slaves, the Dalai Lama, thousands of them. Thousands of them, thousands of slaves in Tibet. They called the Dalai Lama wolves in monk's clothes. That's how bad. Alfred Hitchcock was not a very nice guy. When you have your last name Hitchcock, you think you would be a little humble. But he was a horrible person, they're saying. During The Birds, the movie that he did, he had one actress mauled by real-life birds who create realistic scars and wounds. So what they did was they got a real bird, and they threw it on this actress, and the bird scratched her and everything. And he wanted to create that realistic scars and wounds with the bird. Yeah. He was very sadistic. He had sadistic behavior. He was also incredibly creepy outside of the film set. From stalking the same woman he mauled on the set to hiring assistants to follow her around and make sure she wasn't going out with any men. Hitchcock was so obsessed with this woman, he actually was scary. We cannot allow men like this to be celebrated in society. So that was what he did. Teddy Roosevelt was not a good guy. Nelson Mandela. Now, you think Nelson Mandela is a great guy? He's the last one we'll do in this segment. You think Nelson Mandela was a great guy? Think again. Nelson Mandela is undoubtedly a beloved historical figure, if not one of the most beloved men in history, next to Martin Luther King or Gandhi. But his track record isn't clean, just like the rest of these guys. Many people may not know that Nelson Mandela co-founded Conjunto We Seize We, whatever, is a group that's responsible for unlawful violence. The group has reportedly committed over 100 acts of sabotage, over 100 deaths, and other atrocious acts that we doubt anyone wants to hear about. But it's important to let everyone know the mistakes of the past so we don't ever repeat them in the future. So he had death squads. Nelson Mandela, he appointed death squads. There you go. There's more here, and we'll keep on doing here. We'll keep going on. I think we may have, I guess, King Tut. So we'll say that for another time. King Tut was not a happy king. You know, what did he do? What King Tut actually looks like has been a major mystery in Egyptology. It was only recently that we really understood his true age. Also, several people theorized that the boy king actually had several physical deformities related to inbreeding in the Egyptian royal bloodline, hence his death at an early age. So he was an inbred person. That's why they call him King Tut. King Tut. Well, back in the day, you know, the British inbred a lot. That was part of being a royal, that you would inbreed.
You know that they're related to the Habsburgs, right?
Right. Exactly.
That's probably where those ears came from.
It came from somewhere. I mean, those are not normal ears. I mean, my God. Look at those satellites on that. Now, you know. Ugh. Unbelievable. Cleopatra. Last one. She was not such a nice woman.
Oh, no.
Many people
would
consider. Yeah, she. You know how many people consider she was beautiful. But she was also incredibly intelligent. Having known 9 languages and being the first pharaoh to make Egypt the official language, despite herself being Greek. She may have been beautiful considering she wooed both Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. She must have been beautiful considering most people would be shocked to know that Cleopatra was actually a Greek woman who possessed traditionally Greek features. Her image can be seen on coins all over the Fertile Crescent. So she was Greek. Therefore, that's why she liked anal. Yes.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
Huh? Yes. Delayed reaction. It's one of those days. Get me off the show, John. Let's go. Pretend that we have static problems. Can't hear you, Brian. But that's it. It's Greek to me. Did I do the 30 weird things where people got a divorce? Did I already do that or did I not do it?
No, you didn't.
I didn't?
You've done everything but.
But that. Okay, here we go. Here it is. Here's a. Uh-oh. Let me see. Could have sworn that's it. 30, oh no, those are, I just did that. I got to go back. 35 there's weird things why people get divorced. Yes, there are. Pat, you've been married only once, haven't you?
No, twice.
You've been married twice, that's not bad. When you first got married, what did you think of him? And by the end of the marriage, what did you think of him?
Well, the first one, I was in love.
Right.
And it lasted a year because he was a heroin addict and I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
And it lasted a year. And then the second one, again, I was an idiot and fell in love. And that lasted 6 years, and I walked out.
Wow.
I walked
now
out
how
both.
Long have you...
Well, I've walked out on everyone. I've never been walked out on. I've always done the walking.
Now, how long have you and John been together?
23 years. Well, 23 and a half now.
23 years, man. He must love you. I noticed that when I put the, and he loved you a lot, I put your the notifications in your Facebook. If you're not there, John will say, she'll be there in a minute, or she's in the shower, or whatever. I go, that's nice of him. That's a nice, happy man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
Brian, he stuck with me through the coma and everything. And they said
right.
I might never recover. And, you know, he was ready to change residence and everything to keep me going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody does that anymore. I mean, that's something you can't monetize, so to speak. You know what I mean?
I would have left you when you had a headache. Well, I'm out of here. I'm not sticking around for this foolishness. But yeah, nobody does that anymore.
Look at Cindy stuck around for you, didn't she?
She you know why she did it. Cindy liked the dick. I'm a good lover. It's not my personality, that's for sure. It's not my intelligence, that's for sure. So let's just zero it out. What is it? You know damn well what it is. I have the magic, Brian. That's what it is. Yeah.
I see. I'll have to ask her sometime.
Yeah, that's enough. You have to. That's enough to keep her happy. Okay, just put it in me and shut the fuck up. Okay. We have this understanding. 12 crazy but true reasons people file for divorce. Here we go. I'll do it really quickly. 12 reasons but true reasons why people file for divorce. How's that? All right. I got to go all the way down. I won't go all the way down. I'll just do this. Here we go. We'll do it really quick. 12 crazy but true reasons people file for divorce. They promise to stay together, so death do us part. But some unusual deal breakers got away. Here's what they did. Here's this one person. There's 1.3 million reasons. And this California woman filed for divorce after 25 years of what her husband believed had been a happy marriage. The real reason, it didn't come out until 2 years later. Just 11 days before she filed for divorce, the wife had won $1.3 million in the California lottery. So she won the lottery and divorced the guy. Thereafter, she took various actions to keep the money all to herself, including filing for divorce. When the truth came out, the Los Angeles Family Court judge ruled that the woman had violated state asset disclosure laws and awarded every cent of her lottery winnings to her ex-husband.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. Here's another woman filed divorce after her husband knocked down and rebuilt. A woman literally divorced a person. She's a German woman. She filed for a divorce after her husband knocked down and rebuilt a wall in their home because he said it got dirty. There was apparently the final straw in a 15-year marriage during which the husband obsessively cleaned the house and rearrange the furniture. You have a house cleaner. I mean, that could be obsessive. Cindy's one of those. Constantly reminding.
I used to be.
That could be so. You know, it's like as soon as you eat, you couldn't relax. It's like, okay, you know, do your dishes. I still got a crumb on my plate. Do them now. I'm still eating. Because there's one crumb on there. I am waiting for it to be the last thing I eat. And I will eat it when I want to. That's what I do.
Yeah, I think I'd drive you crazy.
Yeah.
I've slowed down a lot. I have.
Did
they
you really?
They put me on Prozac for a while. Yeah, and it got rid of the OCDs.
Oh, my God. You're just, wow. You're one Prozac tablet of yourself, you know that? You're just one medication. Here, take this. Wow, what was that? You got the Oberlin. Oh, damn, I feel good. vote it out.
No, that was when we were trying to regulate my mind because I was very suicidal at the time.
Wow.
So they were trying to find ways to stop me from doing that without giving me painkillers. Wow. You know, my whole problem was pain, but they didn't want to cooperate with that. So.
people don't understand that. That when you're in that much pain, man, you just don't want to know from nothing. You know, it's just everything bothers you.
Well, the thing is, why give psych meds when the problem is pain? Why? What is the deal there?
Are opiates that scary anymore? Yeah, it just makes you an angry, weird person. And they give you psych meds, and these side effects will cause hallucination, blah, 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 blah. And you're going, okay, good. That's all I need to know. Well, here's another reason why the guy, here he goes. This is 14. I still didn't give you the other ones, but I got this one up. Here we go. You tell me good or bad, Pat. Here we go. These are 14 reasons why a woman or a guy will file a divorce. Tell me if it's legitimate. We'll see what kind of person you are. Here we go. Number 14, because he refuses to shower for 8 weeks.
Oh.
For
yeah.
8 weeks.
Yeah, I'd be done.
You'll be done? Okay. Number 13, because he wouldn't install a toilet. A man from India forced his wife to go to the bathroom in the fields because he refused to build a toilet in the house. The court determined it was a form of torture and granted the woman her divorce.
I'd be done.
Number 12, because she just had to Snapchat, didn't she? There was a couple from Saudi Arabia. They got a divorce because the bride posted Snapchats at their wedding. There was a prenuptial agreement between my sister and her fiancé that she would not use social media applications such as Snapchat. But she did. That's one reason.
That's silly.
Number 11. Right. It's why they filed for a divorce. Number 11, because his wife didn't have a vagina. That may be a deal breaker. His wife did not have a vagina. That's a deal breaker for me. I mean, if a woman, I guess I can close my eyes. If a woman had some, like a little mustache on her thing, and if she opened her mouth, I could pretend that's a vagina, a little hairy vagina. Use your imagination.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Number 11. This one just makes us angry and sad. On a television show, one man revealed his divorce. He divorced his wife because she wasn't born with a vagina. He neglected to mention that she has Rokinski Custer-Hauser syndrome, which leaves sufferers without a vagina and a cervical or uterus. So women can have this, and it leaves them without a vagina, a cervical or uterus. It's called MRKH. MRKH. She has no vagina.
Well, you'd think you'd know that before they got married, wouldn't you?
Well, no. Some women will not let you see the vagina until you put a ring on a finger. I mean, there are still some women who would not go to bed with a person unless you get married. So he found out that he got married and realized she doesn't have a vagina, she doesn't have a cervix, or a uterus.
That's false advertising.
It is false advertising. That's why I'm a big supporter of premarital marriage, especially in a car late at night around 9 p.m. in back of a Starbucks. Thank you.
Exactly.
That's right. Mike, I'm not just a hoe. You remember backseat too, baby. Don't you be uppity. She's not talking to me now.
There was a 70-something Cornet I used to quote, and it was old. Did it have a nice back seat? Same as a Charger.
Oh, yeah, you had it by a car with a back seat. Cindy happened to be one of those nice girls that you had to spend a lot of gas and you had to spend a little time. Yes, you were. But as soon as I made out with her, she was putty in my hands.
Oh, really?
Putty. Just putty. These luscious lips. That was it. And then later she got the boat.
Um,
Is it number 10? Because he didn't text back. This woman divorced this guy because he did not text back. One woman from Taiwan, she kept texting her husband and received zero responses. She even texted him, letting him know that she was in the hospital, still nothing. Therefore, he officially blocked her, and she got a divorce because he blocked her texting. There you go.
Well, I would have been upset about that, too.
Yeah, but if it's for a divorce. Well, you know if he doesn't text back, we already know what he's doing, especially in India. You know what he's doing. We know exactly what he's doing. Number nine.
I was married before social media and stuff, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I like how you said it. Social medium instead of social media. Only a spiritual person will say social medium instead of social media. Okay. Number nine. Because he wouldn't take her career seriously. Judge Judy divorced her first husband because he viewed her career as a hobby. My first husband is a lovely, lovely man, but he always viewed my job as a hobby. And there came a time where I resented that, she said. Case closed. Judge Judy.
I guess so.
Her husband didn't. Yeah. Number 8. Because her makeup wasn't waterproof. According to Mr. Perfect, his 28-year-old Arab bride deceived him by using so many cosmetics and fake eyelashes that washed off as they enjoyed a beach day shortly after they tied the knot. Total douchebag award goes to you-know-who. I don't know. Isn't that false advertising? You have all this gunky makeup on and this and this and this allure and all that stuff. And
well,
then they wash off and go.
I have seen some makeup demonstrations where they have turned somebody that is totally horrendous into something beautiful, and it's all the makeup.
Right.
And if that makeup washed off and I was the partner, I'd be going, what the fuck? You know, because that is false advertising.
It is. It is possible.
If they don't see you without the makeup before marriage, there's something wrong.
I remember the old days where the women used to stuff their bra with toilet paper, which I think is possible advertising, too, and that's just for divorce. I love you, baby.
Well, I think the guy would find that out before the marriage.
Again, some of these women say, I don't know. Back in the day, is that a lot of these people did not do foreplay and everything, and maybe they met over the internet. I don't know. How about this, number 7, because he left dirty dishes in the sink. Every time she walked into the kitchen and finds a drinking glass by the sink, she moved closer to moving out and ending our marriage. One man reflected, I just don't know. So she got tired of being cleaned up after this slob. She got tired. Number
That's
6.
That's such a pitifully stupid thing.
I know. Well, here's what you think that is. Number 6, because he didn't like Frozen. An anonymous 20-year-old woman reportedly divorced her husband after he told her, I really don't care for it, personally. Did you really think that was good? And then pretty much went downhill from there. She gave him a divorce because the guy did not like Frozen. She divorced him. And this might be my case, number 5. It should be number 1. And you know what it is, what it involves. Number 5, because his penis was too big. Number 5.
Holy
big penis.
Moly.
Yes, that's what she said.
Oh, I refused somebody for that.
Yeah. Well, he tried to put it in her
holy moly.
Didn't fit.
I have the her no name is with somebody.
Ashia Danupawa. He's a Nigerian, of course, A Nigerian housewife and a mother of 3 asked her to dissolve her marriage because her husband's penis was too big. They didn't have sex before marriage, and once they did, she described the experience as a nightmare and rough. You know what? That would be a pet name for my penis. What's your penis name? Rough. 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 Because his penis is way too big. That's him getting a divorce. Number 4, this is your wheelhouse. Because she was possessed by the devil. The moment you realize you're living
It's true. The moment you realize you're living with a real-life horror film, in April 2017, an Italian man reportedly filed for divorce after witnessing his wife levitate into the air.
Oh, was he drinking?
She levitated in the air. She levitated.
Well, that happens.
The ground. Yeah, it happens. It happens. You know, as that he said,
well,
she was possessed by the devil.
Well, you think he'd just get her an exorcism.
I agree.
Why not just get her an exorcism, you know?
Well, it could be, or it could be a great party trick. There you go, wifey. Levitate. You know what I would do? I would push her out the house and let her just float in the air. Divorce done. Open up the door. There you go, honey. Bye-bye. See you later. Say hello to Satan. Number three. Here's enough that I think you would divorce. Because he was hell-bent on working for Donald Trump. This is why she divorced him.
Oh, well, yeah, I wouldn't, too.
Yeah. She divorced him because he wanted to work for Donald Trump. And number two, because he voted for Donald Trump. She left her husband of 22 years after she found out he had plans to vote for Trump. She said, I felt like I had been fooling myself, she said. It opened up areas between us I have never faced before. So she found out her husband voted for Trump, and she's out of there. And the number one reason, and these are all true divorce, the number one reason, because he was too much of a chatty Cathy. Maybe it's best to keep
what?
The pillow talk to a minimum. Back in 20, a woman filed for divorce for her husband because he talked too much and couldn't keep any secrets to himself. My husband has no trust in me, she said. Instead, he shares his problems with his friends and relatives who will mislead him. That's the number one reason why she gave him a divorce. There you go.
Well, he talked to everybody else but her.
Yep.
Well, that's weird.
These are weird people. One lady divorced a guy because he was too nice. He was just too nice, had to get rid of him.
You know, I've run into that reading cards. Like,
inconceivable
differences.
Like, what the fuck? Really? You did run into that?
Yes.
Wow.
And I
wow.
just couldn't believe my ears. Like, why? You want to be abused? You know, like, why would you leave this guy?
I don't know. There are some
boring.
Weird people. Well, who knew that Bob Barker used that girl as a sex slave? That's fucking
well,
weird.
Well, I don't buy the slave part, but...
You don't?
No. I mean, it's not like she made him... He made her wear slave stuff, and, you know. Bark like a dog. I don't know what, you know. Like, still, like, I don't buy that, you know.
Yeah.
She
There's
had
something
the,
going
she
on
had
there.
The wherewithal to stop it.
Yeah. And in the show, you know how we watch TV and you watch Hallmark Channel or whatever, so romantic. These are actors who never locked lips with their co-star. They didn't like to kiss them. Reese Witherspoon was absolutely against kissing Robert Pattinson in Water for Elephants. Julia Roberts was not thrilled that Denzel didn't want to kiss her in that movie. What movie was it? They were lawyers. The Pelican Brief. Denzel did not want to kiss Julia Roberts. And Julia said, Denzel outright refused to kiss Julia Roberts that she was white. He did not want to kiss a white woman on screen.
Really?
Yeah, Denzel said, don't get me wrong, I'm not a racist. But, you know, back in the day, kissing a white woman on screen is the end of your career. Kevin Hart refuses to play roles where he has to kiss another man. Sonny Leone has a no kissing clause in all of his contracts. Let's see. So these are people who just won't kiss another person. I'd be too afraid of getting herpes. Full Candace Cameron and Full House rather not kiss her co-stars. This really shouldn't shock anyone. Her last name should be Claire Gateway. She's Kirk's sister. Like her older brother, the only lips she wants to fully embrace are those belonging to her spouse. 11-year-old Kirsten Dunst didn't want to kiss a grown-up Brad Pitt in an interview with a vampire. I didn't see that movie. I guess while filming Interview with a Vampire, Kirsten Dunst was a little more than reserved about kissing a future sexiest man alive. Kirsten told reporters later on that a lot of friends were jealous of her brushing lips with Brad Pitt, but to her, the experience was a bit of a shock. She was 11 years old, and they made her kiss Brad Pitt. Imagine that, 11 years old.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. She admitted the next person she locked lips with happened to be age 15. I mean, the industry is kind of gross. I don't know how Brad Pitt about having an 11-year-old kiss him and then French kiss him and grab him by the balls. That didn't happen. That did not happen. Okay. I'm sorry. That did not happen. That's it for the show. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I have. That's all I have. I want to thank the luscious Pat. She held in there. She didn't hardly sleep. She came out of the hospital. She's in pain during the show. I don't know what hurt her more, me or the surgery she had. I don't know. It's a toss-up.
It was a surgery.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad she came. That's what he said. Before we leave, Pat, can you tell everybody how to reach you on your website?
At spiritualniagara.ca, and you look me up in the directory.
There you go. The once and the beautiful Pat. There you go.
My mind.
And we're
going to
leave you with this. Yeah. Good
okay,
night, everybody.
Bye,
we'll see you tomorrow, Pat.
But my body. My body
bye,
telling me it hurts.
Baby, we're out of here.
I don't want to hurt nobody, but there is something that I must confess.
Yeah.
I don't need. And I know just what you need, girl.
Oh, baby, bring your body
here. Bring your body here. I'm not fooling around with you. Baby, my love is true with you.
You is
where
I wanna be.
'cause I